The topic of the evening is hypothyroid type 2. Hypothyroidism type 2. It is known as an epidemic because, according to my guests and as many colleagues, about 50% of the population has some of the symptoms that have to do with hypothyroidism. We've been talking about them tonight: blood sugar disorders, high cholesterol, dental problems, fatigue, loss of hair, thinning nails, tinnitus, heart conditions, diabetes, neuropathy, so many different things. And it has to do with the thyroid gland and its inability to utilize certain hormones properly. So we're going to come back with my expert tonight, Dr. Mark Starr, to answer your questions. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm Lisa Garr. And by the way, I do love hearing from you when you email me. My email's there on the Coast website, which is news@theawareshow.com. The Aware Show is the regular show that I do during the week. And if you visit the website, you can see lots of video. I do a lot of video interviews as well. So if you like hearing me on Coast to Coast, you can also visit me on my website, which is theawareshow.com, for video interviews as well as audio. So we're talking about hypothyroidism tonight, and many of the symptoms we've discussed on the show over the last several hours you are relating to because of your calls that are coming in right now. My guest is Dr. Mark Starr, and I haven't actually addressed the issue of memory, Dr. Starr. Is lack of memory or long-term memory loss, short-term memory loss related to hypothyroidism at all?
You bet. That's been well documented for, you know, back when they first found out what low thyroid meant. And,
And why?
Why? Well, the central nervous system, the brain, is, very, very, very much energy intensive, and it needs a whole lot of energy to function properly. And when you're low thyroid, you don't get enough energy. For instance, there's something called mitochondria, which are responsible for the energy production in every one of our cells. And I did a lot of research on that, and that's all in my first book. Anyway, Alzheimer's, the main reason people develop dementia and Alzheimer's is because the mitochondria die in their central nervous system, their brain. And guess what thyroid does? Increases the size and number of mitochondria. So that'll be my next book. Mm. There's a little bit about the Alzheimer's and so on in the first book as well.
Now, as people are fatigued, and this is a main reason that people complain about, what about caffeine and green tea and those types of different things? Do you think that that is harming the effects of the thyroid? Is it causing the adrenals to become more deficient?
The worst thing in your diet for thyroid is soy, along with the fluorine in the water, of course. But soy really knocks out your hormones. It's an estrogenic compound. Mm-hmm. So it's like giving, people are still giving their little baby soy formula because they're too allergic to take the regular formula, but that's a really bad idea. Go to a homeopathic doctor and, sorry, somebody's knocking on my window.
That's okay.
I called the police earlier so they'd know I was here.
Why? Okay.
Because I'm in my medical office and they make rounds so nobody breaks
in. Oh, all right. Well,
so, hey, I've got a I think it's a policeman.
You go right ahead. I will cover here because this is something
I'll put you on hold.
That I normally do. The idea, I particularly went through this in terms of my own case of thyroid issues, and I have learned that a dairy-free diet, soy-free diet, I'm free of nuts and all wheat, anything except protein and vegetables has been ruled out in my life, which initially I thought of being very restrictive, but as I started on that particular diet plan of only protein and vegetables, no grains, no rice, no beans, no corn, I started to feel better. And I fixed a lot of my issues simply through diet. And many people that I've spoken to have done the same thing, is fixed their issues through elimination of inflammatory foods that are my particular triggers, as far as my testing showed with my blood tests and all the different samples that I've done, showed that I had a lot of inflammatory triggers in all of those foods: soy, dairy, corn specifically, and these are mostly genetically modified foods. Have you found that to be the case as well, as those types of foods cause major inflammatory responses?
I'm back. So was that question posed to
me? Yes, it is.
Yeah, foods. I test everybody initially with my muscle testing. I learned how to do that more than 10 years ago, and I think it helps quite a bit. And then we verify what I find at the Environmental Medicine Center. Foods are a huge problem with the low thyroid patients. You have to have plenty of digestive enzymes to digest your foods down to amino acids. All the acid-blocking drugs are really bad because you can't digest your foods properly, and the foods do not get digested, and their proteins get into the bloodstream. The body is programmed to attack the proteins as foreign invaders. So without enough stomach acid, you develop lots and lots of food allergies.
So is that what they call leaky gut syndrome?
Well, leaky gut can be from candida, food allergies, just being acidic can make cause leaky gut. There are a number of things that can cause leaky gut. But the bottom line is your body has to be alkaline in order to function properly. I recommend alkaline water and clean water, of course, that's not full of poison and fluoride. It's hard to get the fluoride out of the water, so that can be difficult. But there's some good filter recommendations that we have.
Do you do reverse osmosis? Is that what you recommend?
No, reverse osmosis has a pH of 4 or 5. It's extremely acidic. All the minerals are taken out, not all of them, but too many are taken out, so it's really bad for you.
Unless you mix the minerals into it that you can control.
Well, I tell people to get a pH strip and see what the pH is, because if it's below 7, it's not good, no matter how many minerals they put into it.
Good point. Okay. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. We've got someone who's been waiting for a long time, wild card line. John from Hemet, California. John, do you have a question for...
Hello there.
Hi. Do you have a question for Mr. Dr.
Hi, Lisa, Stone? Yeah. Doctor, when I was 13, now this is back, I was born in 48, so 38, 13, I was listening to your description of the doctor that started his study in 48.
Uh-huh.
And he, talked about the thyroid. Well, I developed, when I was 13, Osgood-Slaughter's disease.
Have you heard of that, Dr. Starr?
Sure.
Okay. Is it related?
Is that the question?
Well, in the years since, it took about a year or so. They gave me something. Now, of course, I'm 66 now. And that was quite some time ago. I don't have any idea what they gave me to relieve the symptom.
I can tell you the first half of the 20th century, any type of arthritis or problem, you know, like Osgood-Slaughter, they may very well have given thyroid. You're much more prone to benign and malignant tumors when you're low thyroid, because you're acidic. Most of the people who are low thyroid are acidic. And when you're acidic, the body doesn't function properly.
And was that your question, my friend?
No, I was wondering, is there a question that I could ask my current PCP about? I have a whole bunch of these other symptoms that you guys have been describing.
Okay.
And I am borderline diabetic. I don't believe I am diabetic. The tests have not shown that.
Are you asking, is there a way that you could direct your primary care physician to investigate the symptoms?
Yes.
Most of them are quite reticent. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a big legal issue involved with not using the standard of care. For instance, I tried to get into some sports medicine and sports teams, and they said, well, what you do isn't standard of care. If something went wrong, I'd be in big trouble. The sports agents, the attorneys, so doctors can get in big trouble if they don't do the standard of care from their medical boards. So the best thing I can tell you is to buy my new book. It's only a $10 ebook, or a little bit more than that, printed version, and give it to your doctor. It's only 68 pages. If he wants to know how to prevent heart attacks, heart failure, and diabetes, it explains why and how, and it's well-referenced. The first doctor who found the correlation between thyroid and diabetes was 1954, Dr. Crosby Eaton. Dr. Broda Barnes was searching through the research when he realized none of his diabetic patients were having any symptoms, and their diabetes, you know, wasn't affected negatively by the thyroid hormones. So he found the first research report was 1954. So 60 years ago, we've known this in the medical literature. Dr. Barnes published his research in the middle 1970s. They don't teach any of that in medical school. As a matter of fact, they teach the opposite. Oh, they teach if you give too much thyroid, you're going to have a heart attack.
Wow, really?
Exactly the opposite. You know, how Broda Barnes prevented heart attacks, was giving plenty of thyroid to his patients. So I'm telling you, it's upside down, and it's they've done a magnificent job of winning over all the doctors.
Well, it's definitely interesting to bring this up. If you have the access to a homeopathic MD, then, or maybe even a chiropractor, you might learn a little bit more about it as well. But that's interesting that you say that, because typically the endocrinologists don't tend to have the same exact information that you're talking about. So that's why we're talking about it here. Okay, so I mean, I'm not saying that we're, you know, telling you to override your doctors on this is a radio show, but it is definitely worth doing your own research and investigation on. All right, so let's go to our phone lines here. We've got wild card line 5, Kathy in Anaheim. You have a question for Dr. Starr.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. In recent years, I've had problems where I had sudden weight gain, and I'm either really hungry or not hungry at all. Usually in the past, when I tried modifying my diet, do exercise, I would shed weight, I would feel better. Nothing seems to be helping. I have been taking a desiccated adrenal supplement, which helps my energy. But other than that, there's still, you know, fatigue or sleep issues or appetite issues. Is thyroid related to that?
Oh, sure. The thyroid hormones allow all the other hormones to work properly. And when they don't, when you don't have enough thyroid hormones, nothing works very well, and you can have all sorts of problems. Typically, low thyroid or hypothyroidism gets worse as you age. So people who used to be able to lose weight no longer can lose weight, and they finally become so fatigued they no longer feel like exercising as they age. The doctors tell them they can't possibly have low thyroid because their blood tests are normal. So maybe some glandular thyroid. If the glandular adrenals helps, you can go to your health food store and buy a little glandular thyroid as well. I have found the patients with Hashimoto's don't do that well with glandulars. They do better with herbal mixtures for their adrenals. And as I said, the compounded T4 and T3, if they can find somebody to give it to them.
Interesting. So the medication for adrenals, what would that be?
Well, the glandular adrenal is probably the most common.
And is that a prescription?
No, you can get that over the counter, bovine. The FDA just took off my favorite, it's a natural hydrocortisone. It was called Isocort. I called the doctor who invented the product. He said they had not had one complaint in 25 years, but the FDA still took it off the market.
Hmm.
So it was a natural hydrocortisone. And I guess it was impinging on some of their prescription drugs, which is why we need to kick all the bureaucrats out of the FDA, which is my conclusion of my book, and put the scientists in instead, because it's all about the money.
Put the scientists in. Thank you so much for your call, Kathy. I appreciate that. Yeah, there's definitely that. That's a whole nother conversation about the hydrocortisone. Is there a relationship between hypothyroidism and histamine, by any chance?
Well, the first thing that the environmental medicine doctors do when you go see them, when you have lots of food allergies or environmental allergies or whatever, is neutralize your own histamine. Because, yes, people with lots of allergies, not necessarily low thyroid, but I tend to believe, since that's what I see, are the low thyroid patients, that they tend to have more severe allergies than the people who may not be low thyroid. But histamine, you know, causes a lot of inflammation and symptoms.
Right.
So that's the very first thing the environmental medicine doctors do before they test anything else. They neutralize your body to its own histamine.
Got it. Okay, interesting. All right, so let's go back to the phone lines here. We've got wildcard line 3, Mick from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Mick, do you have a question for Dr. Starr?
Boy, do I ever.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Doctor, I'm wondering regarding iodorol, iodine as a functionally efficacious supplement. Also, let's see.
Sure. It's good stuff.
Is it okay? Any functional connection between thyroid function and testosterone production?
Oh, sure. Yeah, low testosterone. You know, there's so many endocrine disruptors, they're called toxins in our environment, that block our hormones. I think that's one of the biggies that's causing the low testosterone epidemic. But I can tell you, the low thyroid certainly contributes mightily to the low testosterone and other problems. So there's a website called the Thyroid Summit. And Dr. Brownstein is one of the people behind the Thyroid Summit. He's up there outside of Detroit, so he's not too far from you. So you can hear him lecture on the Thyroid Summit and make an appointment for him to see him. I think he's got an 8-month study, so you better do it Monday because everybody else is listening in that area. But he's a great doctor and a friend of mine. He's written 13 books. I recommend all of his books.
And, he wrote the salt therapy, or what was that?
Salt Your Way to Health.
Salt Your Way to Health, yeah. And
the unrefined salt is really important. People used to have wars thousands of years ago over salt. They knew they needed it to be healthy. People were paid with salt. My favorite brand is Real Salt. It's like 60 trace minerals. That's the antidote to a iodine overdose, is lots and lots of the unrefined salt.
Interesting. Yes. Real salt you can get at health food stores or supermarkets.
Yeah. And so people who have Hashimoto's, I start on the sea salt, the unrefined salt, Real Salt, and they're able to tolerate topical thyroid after you give them enough salt for about a month, and then you start increasing the dosage a little bit, and eventually you can get them on a good dose of iodine.
And that doesn't affect blood pressure?
Dr. Barnes had over 100 patients enter his study with high blood pressure, 80% resolved with just the thyroid. And I would say it's more like 60% to 70% of my patients with high blood pressure resolve with a thyroid. And
that's refreshing.
Iodine helps the thyroid work. Mm-hmm. So I would say, yes, it helps with the blood pressure as well.
Great. Oh, well, that's interesting. Okay, so we're going to take another quick break, but in the meantime, we have solutions here as desiccated thyroid, which we've talked about several times, and unrefined salt, which I definitely know that there's a correlation to as well. The Thyroid Summit, full of lots of information, lots of different guests on there too that have a lot of information in this category. This is a very important show, very relevant to our audience, because over 50% of the population has this type of issue, and a lot of our listeners have questions about it. So we'll come back with your questions and answers by Dr. Starr when we come back. We are going to continue with our conversation about that one tiny little gland called the thyroid, and if it malfunctions, how it can influence so many other functions in the body that don't even seem related to each other, mostly cell metabolism of proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. We are going to be taking your calls when we come back. My guest is Dr. Mark Starr. You're listening to Coast AM. I'm Lisa Garr. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Coast AM. This is Lisa Garr, and my guest is Dr. Mark Starr. We're talking about hypothyroidism. And I wanted to ask you about the good fats. Why is this so important in our diets? And does it have anything to do with helping regulate the thyroid imbalance?
Sure. I would encourage everybody to look at the Weston Price Foundation website.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of good before and after pictures with the how after you get lots of good fat, every cell in the body is coated in cholesterol. The skin is all cholesterol, is all fat. Basically, it turns over every 6 weeks. Every cell in the liver is fat, and it turns over every cell every 8 weeks. The brain is mostly fat. And the last chapter of the book that Dr. Broda Barnes wrote called Solve the Riddle of Heart Attacks, the very last chapter in that book, which you can buy through his research foundation, is entitled The Demise of the Cholesterol Theory. So that was 1976.
Wow. That's interesting. And
yeah. So you need lots of good fat. And the best research I know about how statin drugs do not work and how you need lots of good fat is in Dr. Jerry Tennant, Jerry Tennant. He's a wonderful integrative medicine doctor in Dallas. And his book is called Healing is Voltage. And he's a genius, and he's my favorite doctor ever. And read that book about how they put it over on doctors with the statin drugs as well.
Well, the good fats could actually lower cholesterol, is that correct?
Well, that's correct.
Okay.
You know, vegetarians get high levels of cholesterol even. Typically, the cholesterol and triglycerides are low thyroid, though. For instance, I had an excellent diet. I swam every day. I didn't finish med school till I was 37. We tested each other's blood, learning about blood testing and drawing blood and so on. In my second year of med school, my triglycerides and cholesterol were normal. By the time I was 44, right before I was treated for low thyroid, my triglycerides and cholesterol were through the roof, and I felt terribly. And thank goodness, Dr. Sonkin put me on thyroid, and within 18 months of having plenty of thyroid, both the triglycerides and cholesterol completely normalized, and I haven't bothered to check them for many, many years now.
Because you feel good.
Because I have lots of good fat I eat. Mm-hmm. I feel better every year, despite the fact I'm now 61. I'm getting better every year. I had lots of scars. Scars are really bad. I'm going to write an e-book on scars.
What can you tell me what you do eat? What does your diet consist of?
Eggs, lots of good, you know, I buy a lot of organic stuff because Whole Foods is right across the street from my clinic, but I eat a fair amount of stuff that just is free of the hormones and antibiotics, but I eat lots of meats. And I don't eat a whole lot of fish because most of the fish is pretty darn contaminated. Shrimp and scallops are at the bottom of the food chain, so they aren't biomagnified. So I do eat some shrimp, you know, once a week or every couple of weeks. And I take lots of chlorella when I do. Chlorella sucks up mercury and a lot of toxins. So, for instance, if I ever serve king crab legs, which I do to friends occasionally, I give them lots of chlorella, too. They think I'm a little nuts, but I don't want to poison anybody. So I drink mostly water, but I do, you know, I tell everybody to cheat on their diet, have really good water and lots of good fats. And I don't eat too many grains. I do have some ancient organic grains, bread that I eat that, you know, haven't been bastardized, and they're, mm-hmm. I'm not allergic to gluten, so I can get away with it. Lots of raw cheese. Raw milk is really good, but the FDA takes away a lot of farms for selling raw milk, so yeah. They have to be quite careful about that.
And do you take a supplement for the essential for the oils?
No.
No,
I don't.
Just get it from your food.
I get it from my food.
That's no omega-3s.
Plus, I take digestive enzymes. You know, anybody over 50, especially if you're low thyroid, is not going to be able to digest their foods properly. So Dr. Tennant has some really wonderful advice about that in his book. I don't talk about stomach acid much in mine, but he does.
Because the immune system is located in the gut, and that has to do with inflammation, right? There a link there?
Sure. Well, okay. I mean, you have to digest your foods to amino acids in order to not have the body become, you know, attack the proteins to get into the bloodstream. And as you age, you don't make enough stomach acid.
Right. Okay. So Digestive enzymes. Okay, let's go back to the phones here. We've got the wild card line 3, Brenda from Los Angeles. Brenda, do you have a question for Dr. Mark Starr?
Hi, good doctor. I really want to thank you for the work you're doing. And I'm someone who was actually hospitalized last month for my thyroid. And I have had, in 2006, I had what they call mixed edema coma. And I was fortunate enough to get to see a doctor out here. His name was Dr. Boris Katz. Dr. Boris Katz was one of the first thyroid doctors. He put me on a combination of a T3, T4 mix, and I was a very successful person, pretty much together with it, top of my field, and my thinking was getting to, I couldn't finish a sentence. I started swelling up. And then starting in May, I had a hair loss, and following the advice of my primary care doctor, which I should have listened to my gut, they really amped up my Synthroid and cut out the Cytomel. And I literally felt like I was going crazy. And when I tried talking to the doctors and telling them, you know, I can't lift my arms above my shoulders. This isn't right. My throat is closing up. The negativity and the resistance towards looking into the thyroid or even getting a second opinion from an endocrinologist shocked me. And my question would be, Dr. Boris Katz sadly has passed. He was phenomenal in research with thyroid. And how does one go about finding a doctor in their city that...
So the websites are in my book, and we mentioned some of the websites during the show.
Yes, yes.
That's the only thing I can recommend at this point in time.
Can you address her comment about the... and this might not have been directly your comment, but there is a link between what I read in your book, mental and emotional problems and difficulty in cognition having to do with hypothyroid, and we'll have you take this question off the air there, Brenda. Thank you very much for your call.
Sure. So the thyroid can cause any kind of mental problem, schizophrenia. I had a paranoid patient that had been discharged from the military. After he had all sorts of vaccines, he became paranoid and myxedematous, basically gained a lot of weight and was all puffy, relatively young man. I put him on a pretty good-sized dose of thyroid, and he was working and happy. He lost a job, moved away. Last I heard, he became schizophrenic. The first cure for schizophrenia was in 1944 or 5. Dr. Zondek, the guy who wrote the first endocrinology textbook, was in Jerusalem by then, and a woman thought machines were controlling her, and he put her on thyroid, and she was normally... working quite well in her home a year later with just taking the thyroid. So bipolar, depression. So you can see why the powers that be don't like the thyroid to be treated properly, because we could minimize the health costs by 90%. But then everybody would live a long time as well, and there would be more people, too many
on the planet.
Which is already a problem. Anyway, but yeah, we could certainly make everybody's health a whole lot better, but that's not going to happen easily.
Well, we need awareness around this. So, all right, let's go back to the phones here. We've got the caller from our Wildcard Line 5, Lyra from California City, California. Do you have a question for Dr. Mark Starr?
Yeah, hi. It was like years ago that this all started out. I ended up with PTSD, and they put me on all kinds of medications, and one of them was Seroquel. And before I know it, I'm gaining like 150 pounds, and everything's still showing up normal, and they're telling me it can't possibly be the Seroquel. I go to a really good thyroid doctor, and he tells me to immediately stop taking it, that it's burned out my thyroid, and I was lucky because a lot of people have ended up with diabetes, and there's all these lawsuits and stuff. And then I was able to get better and get back to my normal weight, and it's gotten worse over the years. Now I've my legs, if I walk or stand for more than 15 minutes, my legs immediately swell up and turn black and blue. I've even gotten a line of a black and blue mark all the way down the back of my leg. And
so you're looking for an alternative to Seroquel?
Well, no, I don't want to take Seroquel anymore. I quit taking that a long time ago. I'm on Synthroid, which is the only thing I can take. But there's just I'm not sure if all of this is my thyroid or not. And all the doctors out here say that no one's going to help you because they're afraid of liability. And I was in an accident. I broke my neck and fractured all my vertebrae and everything like that. But now I'm having problems with my memory. I was told I needed a pacemaker in my stomach because I'm not digesting my food.
Yeah, so everything goes south when you're low thyroid. The basal temperature that I mentioned earlier is a good way to test. So normal temperature, again, is 97.8 to 98.2 under your arm after you wake up first thing in the morning. Women have to do it during their menstrual cycle for it to be accurate. The doctors dismiss it out of hand, even though they don't have any research. And all the textbooks I did research in, they just say it's shown to be inaccurate. They don't have anything to back that up. I have research in my book showing that it is accurate. The Doug Broda Barnes did the research. So you'll just have to find yourself a good thyroid doctor and see if they can help.
Is there any relationship between the menopause and extreme hot flashes and hypothyroidism?
Dr. Barnes, and I agree with his findings, said that women who are normal thyroid, whether it's being supplemented with enough thyroid to keep them well, or they just basically are not low thyroid, have very few menopausal symptoms. The women who are low thyroid, the main times you see thyroid problems exacerbated are puberty. That's really stressful on the thyroid. Pregnancies, extremely stressful on the thyroid, and menopause is extremely stressful on the thyroid. All this hormone, you know, basically tumultuous hormone issues stresses the thyroid. So you see lots of exacerbations or the onset of low thyroid during those times. And women typically have low thyroid a whole lot more than men. And I read in some of the old research before they even knew exactly what the thyroid did was that there's a great want of thyroid stuff during the menses, and only then might you find the thyroid symptoms occur. So every menstrual cycle women have takes a toll on the thyroid gland.
What about children? Can you? Is there an age that's too young to start a child on any type of...
So my earliest treatment was a baby. Wow. His mother was a patient of mine. And I don't think she was on enough thyroid when she became a patient of mine and was pregnant. Anyway, she had her baby and had not slept much at all for over a month because the baby had not slept much at all for over a month, and it was a very unhappy baby. And she brought the baby to me to see if I could do anything, and we gave that little baby 1/4 grain of desiccated thyroid, and the baby slept through the night, the very first night.
Wow.
So I wouldn't say that's going to happen with every little baby.
Right. What about...
That was my number one, case to show everybody, to show off to everybody.
What about preteens? Is that... I mean, the thing is that they would have to be on this for the rest of their lives, right?
That's correct. Unfortunately, like I said, for thousands of years, the low thyroid would get knocked out with plagues and tuberculosis and smallpox and infections and you name it. And we have generations now since antibiotics and anti-tuberculin drugs were introduced in 1945. So ever since then, we keep all the low thyroid people alive. And very frequently, if a mom is low thyroid, then so are the children. I've seen one or two exceptions, but that's all. So better to be on thyroid the rest of your life and be healthy than to not.
Is there any side effect from being on thyroid the rest of your life that could be harmful? And I'm talking about
too much or the wrong kind or, it just has to be treated properly by an astute physician. My father, for instance, was put on thyroid and told he was going to need it the rest of his life. When he was 60, he moved to Florida, and that was in the 1970s. And the new doctor said his thyroid showed that he didn't need it anymore. So, of course, they took it away from him. And within 1 year, he developed rheumatoid arthritis and was crippled the rest of his life.
Mm. Now, is there a how often should you have your levels tested if you are on A desiccated thyroid.
The blood tests don't work.
Oh.
Period. Typically, and I have a section in my book about the thyroid blood testing. You don't take your thyroid the morning of the test, even if you're on 3 or 4 grains of thyroid, or a pretty good equivalent of T4 and T3. The T4 and T3 are almost always normal if you don't take your dose that morning. The TSH is always going to be suppressed if you're on about 2 grains or more, which is why nobody gets 2 grains or more, and that's how much it takes to prevent heart attacks, heart failure, and diabetes is more than 2 grains. So that's the problem.
So you don't want to do the blood test, but the, well,
but you can't,
the blood test, yeah, you have to do
the doctors, like my friend Dr. Brownstein over there in Michigan, does blood tests, and he finds, much like I do, that the free T3 and the free T4 are normal, even when the patients are on plenty of thyroid. And he has lots of research. He's testified in front of medical boards, that, and not only for himself, but for the doctors who are being persecuted for using thyroid like we do. And he's won every case because there's tons of research that back up that what he does is ethical and efficacious. So, but, you know, I had a doctor call just this last week that would I help her with, because she's in trouble with the medical board for one patient was reported that her TSH was low and she was giving too much desiccated thyroid. So she wants me to help her, and hopefully my new book will help. And well, I gave her Dr. Brownstein and one other attorney's name in case she needed more help than what I could offer.
So, and how would you suggest, again, that people find a doctor in their area that could have this type of knowledge?
The website, the Thyroid Summit, the Stop the Thyroid Madness .com. Mm-hmm. That has Broda Barnes' website, Broda, BrodaBarnes.org. So they have listings of doctors they recommend. So I have some of those references in my books. And, you know, it's unfortunately, there just aren't very many of us because it's so difficult to do what we do.
It definitely takes a lot of research and case studies and finding out what works for the individual. And it's something that it can be so easily misdiagnosed. So you've really put a lot of clarity to a lot of questions that people have. You've most of the questions are all coming through with, I have this, is this related to hypothyroid? I have this, is this related to hypothyroid? And you've pretty much answered yes to almost every question on here. So from all of these symptoms, and you could find, I mean, there's a good 30 or 40 symptoms in the Hypothyroidism Type 2 book that you can relate them all back to this wonderful little gland that has such a great influence on our body. So thank you so much. This has been a lot of information, and I think that we've informed the listeners a lot tonight about the that wonderful balance between T4 and T3. It can be very confusing, but you have done a pretty good job tonight of making it pretty clear.
And thanks so much for having me.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Starr. Dr. Starr has been my guest. Hypothyroidism Type 2, The Epidemic, is the name of his book, and thank you so much for being with me this evening. As always, I invite you to stay aware. This is Lisa Garr, and thanks for listening to Coast to Coast AM.